Okay, so we're going to review the two shurim that we did this week. The first one is called Geder Inyan Nisuin, basically trying to define what Nisuin is. The way we get there, though, is from our Mishnah in Ksubis, the first Mishnah in Ksubis, on Beis and Av. The Mishnah says as follows, Basula Nisayis Liyom Harvi, V'almana Liyom HaChamishi. A Basula gets married on a Wednesday, and Almana gets married on a Thursday. Shepamayim V'Shabes Bati Dinim Yoshim Ba'ayaros. That Basin sits on court 2 days, Biyom HaShini, Biyom HaChamishi, on Monday and Thursday. Shim Hailo Tanas Basulim, now we're talking about the case of Basula. If in the case of a Basula, a man has a Tanas Basulim, Hayamashkin Levestim, he'll go to court. So we'll explain in the second half what is going on, why is he coming to court, why are, is this all women who we're talking about, we'll talk about that in the second shir. But basically, we want all women to get married on a Wednesday, so that if, except for Almanos, if the guy is a Tanis Basulim, he can come to court on Thursday. As the Mishnah says, Basin sits on Mondays and Thursdays. If you take a look at Tosos and Dibra Hamatzil Nises, so Tosos asks a very, very good question. He asks as follows. He says, Had de lo kitani nosin esa basula. So he obviously says it as a statement, but he's implying there's a question. Why doesn't our Mishnah say nosin esa basula, that we can marry a basula? Here it seems to be more passive. A basula is Nises. Right? We're focusing on the woman. Basula Nises, why doesn't the Mishnah say, no sinesa basula, we can marry a woman? The Mishnah gives, and the Mishnah says, Kama Ish Mekadesh, we know that in the second paragraph of Kiddushin, the Mishnah starts off by saying, Ish Mekadesh, a man can be Mekadesh, a woman. So we seem to emphasize the man. We're showing that the man can be Mekadesh. So here too, why can we say the man is marries a woman? Why is it to say the, you know, more of a passive form? The woman is married. So Tosus gives three answers. Let's focus on the second answer. So the second answer of Tosos is as follows. V'od, z'itana hachi, if the Mishnah would have said, no sinesa basula, hava mina, I would have thought to say, afilu bal karcha, even against her will, k'dimishani, gabi hadaparech, v'lisni aish kone. So, Tosos says as follows, if our Mishnah would have said, no sinesa basula, focusing on the man, so it's not like the man can marry the woman, even against her will, even against her will. And that's why, he says, that in the Mishnah Kiddushin, it says, Aisha Niknes, because if it would have said Aish Kone, same thing there. We would have thought that a man can acquire a woman against her will. And that's why the Mishnah, first Mishnah Kiddushin, says, Aisha Niknes. So same thing here. If the Mishnah would have said, Nosnes Abasula, we would have thought he could go against her will. Right? The man, we're emphasizing the man. He can do what he wants. But now that it says, Basula Nises, the fact that it says a woman is, you know, could get married on a certain day. So we seem to emphasize the woman a little more. Again, the woman has to have some sort of das, has to be beretzona, can't be against her will. Okay. Now, Tosos clearly says, though, that if our Mishnah would have said no sinesa basula, we would have had the hava mina, that you could have married her against her will. Now, the question is, why would we have had such a hava mina? Right? Why would you have a hava mina that you can go against her will? Right? We know that in Kiddushin, as we just said, the Mishnah explicitly says Haisha Nignes, so that we know you can't get engaged. So now we'll try to differentiate between getting engaged, Kiddushin, and Nisun getting married. We know you can't get engaged against her will, so why would you say that maybe you can get married against her will? We know, or we think, that there are two steps to getting married. There's the Kiddushin and there's Nisun. Right? There's engagement and there is marriage. So back in the day, they did those very separately. They did those 12 months apart. So if those are two major components of getting married, shouldn't they have the same halachos? That just like the first stage, which is Kiddushin, is a kinyan. You're acquiring the woman. So it seemed like you can't, if the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to do it against her will. So why wouldn't the second stage, Nisuin, which is also a major part of becoming married, why wouldn't that have the same halachos that you can't do it against her will? So that's our question on Tosos' answer. I mean, his answer is, we know you can't get married against her will. But the question is, what havamina? Why would we have had a havamina if the Mishnah had said, no sinesa basula? Why would you have such a havamina to say they get married against her will? You know, you can't get engaged against her will. So if those are two major parts of getting married, so it would seem to be that they should have the same halachos. You can't get engaged against her will, also can't get married against her will. Fine. So the yesod, to explain this, first I'll say the yesod, and then I'll bring the proof and three nafkaminas. So the yesod, based on the Rav, is that our Hava Mina is wrong, that what I just said is wrong. right? That we know there are two components to marriage. Maybe we'd say two kinyanim in marriage. Your first kohen of the woman by engaging her. We know there are three ways to be mekadesh a woman. Then you acquire the woman through nisuin, in whatever way nisuin really happens. There are two separate kinyanim, and our question was, shouldn't the two kinyanim have the same halachos? That just like you can't get engaged against her will, so too you can't get married against her will. That assumption is wrong. That really, and this is what the Rav says, that really, the real kinyan here is kedushin. That's really how you acquire the woman. Oh, so what's nisuin? We know marriage, nisuin is a major, major part of the whole process. What does it mean to marry a woman? To be no say a woman, what are you doing in that stage? So it's not a kinyan. It doesn't have the same halachos as kiddushin. So what is it? Why do we need it? So we need it, as the Rav explains, and then I think Rav Shachter explains a little more, that nisun is there to remove an impediment. That really, kiddushin could have worked 100%, but only works, let's say, 85%. What's the impediment? Why can't you get married to 100%? So Rav Shachter explained that the impediment is that in order to be fully married to a woman, she has to be bebeis haba'al, based on some psukim. The woman has to be in the house of the Baal. And therefore, when you are mekadesh her, you've acquired her to a certain extent, but you can't acquire her 100%. Why? Because you're not allowed to live with each other yet. She's not the Beis HaBaal. But once you do nisuin, that removes the impediment of not being in Beis HaBaal. Now you're in the Beis HaBaal. Now the woman's in Beis HaBaal, and that's why now they are fully married. So again, Tosus's answer to our question was, why didn't it say no sin asabasula, like it says, Haish Mekadesh? The answer was because we would have thought that you could do it against her will. But we asked, why would we think you could do it against her will? If Kiddushin and Nisuin are both parts of getting married, they should have the same exact halachos. The answer is no, they're not the same. They both are part of getting married, but Kiddushin is the real kinyan. That's where you fully acquire the woman. But Nisuin, on the other hand, is not a real kinyan. It's just there to remove the impediment. And the impediment it's removing is that the woman is not a Beis HaBaal. Once you officially marry the woman in whatever way, right? Whether it's Yichud or Chuppah, or maybe we said maybe Badekin, whatever way you do Nisuin, that removes that impediment. And therefore, now we have the Mitzias of the woman being an Ishas Ish. Now she's married to you. The Rav and like Rav Shachter. Yeah, explaining the Rav. So that's the idea. And that's why we have a Havamina that you can get married against her will. Now, the Chachma Shlomo, who is in the back of the Gemara, he says, basically, this really should have been before the Rav, but the Chachma Shlomo, and we also saw this in Shittu Mikubet, says, he says this, but doesn't explain. I mean, the Rav has to explain the Chachma Shlomo. What the Chachma Shlomo said was that, even though Kiddushin was Midaita, or once Kiddushin is Midaita, therefore you could do even Nisuin against her will. And he was trying to explain to us, the Rav really explained the Chachma Shlomo, explaining the Shittu Mikubet, meaning why would there be a difference? Right, it seems like in Tosfos is saying that there would be a difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin. Kiddushin you could do against her will. We would think that Nisuin can't be done against her will. The Chacham Shlomo is very, we're not unclear what does he mean. He says that once you do Kiddushin Midaita, you don't have to do Nisuin Midaita. Why would that be? So now we have the Rav to explain that. The Rav again says that you could do Kiddushin. Kiddushin has to be Midaita because that's a real Kinyan. When you do a Kinyan, you need Das of the person you're doing the Kinyan with. But Nisuin, which is the second stage, not a real kinyan. It's only removing an impediment so that she becomes with a sabal, and that is why there's a difference between kiddushin and nisuin. Yes.
We say that Chacham Shlomo and Shittu Mikubet really would hold that it's an impediment due to the way they have that havamina.
You're asking or you're saying?
I'm asking.
I mean, they just say that there should be a difference that once you engage one midaita, it's ever you can marry her against her. Right. Now, what does that mean?
So the fact that you have that havamina, can't you say that?
Yeah, no, it could be. No, that's what we're saying. We're saying that we don't know what exactly, meaning why is there exactly, yeah.
It could be implied, though.
Yeah, no. I mean, again, if you're reading the words, you don't hear the words impediment.
Right, exactly.
Very good, exactly. But that's the Rav is coming to say, okay. What does that mean? That there should be a difference between, why should there be? Exactly what you're saying. Why should there be a difference? The difference might be the impediment. But, you know, if you read the words there, you know, right. They just kind of leave it. Yeah. Very good, very good. Okay, good. The question is, where does the Rav get this from? And where is this idea? Now you're right, he has the Chagman Shlomo, he has, like, where does he really get this idea from? So Rebbe said as follows. He said, the Gemara in Kiddushin Adaf Yud, Amud Aleph, asks the following question. When you want to be kona a woman, bibia, so we don't do that nowadays, but back in the day, what acquires her? Is it the Tchilas Bia or Sophia? There seem to be two stages in Bia, so which stage acquires the woman? So, the Gemara brings first two nafkaminas, meaning who cares if it's Sophia or Tchilas Bia? Fine, we won't get into that right now. The Gemara concludes that every man has das besof bia. Basically, the answer is what's konet tchilas bia, sof bia. That's what acquires a woman for Kiddushin. So Tosfos says as follows. He asks, there seems to be a major stira. The Gemara in Kiddushin, again, seems to say that you acquire a woman, Sofbia, but the Gemara in Yevamos seems to say you acquire a woman, Bitzchiasbia. So which one is it? Seems to be a straight out stira. Do you acquire her, Sofbia or Tzchiasbia? So the end of Tosfos, the last two lines, Tosfos quotes, first he has a couple other answers, but then he quotes Rabbeinu Nissim, Gaon, who says that, no, we're talking about two different things. Our Gemara in Kiddushin is talking about Kiddushin, and in Kiddushin, the first stage of marriage, you can only, the time when you acquire a woman is Bisofbia. But the Gemara in Yevamos is not talking about Kiddushin, rather it's talking about Nisuin, and Nisuin can happen Bitzchiasbia. That's how you acquire a woman for Nisuin. So our question is, why would there be a difference? If those are two major components, if those are two major kinyanim in getting married, why would there be a difference? Shouldn't there be one halacha? Either it's Sofbia or Tchiasbia. What's going on? And furthermore, didn't the Gemara say that you always have da'as, a very important word, da'as for Sofbia? So how could you say that in Nisuin it's only going to work Bitzchiasbia? If everyone's da'as is on Sofbia, so why can you say that it works Bitzchiasbia? Even if you have the beginning of Bia, everyone's da'as though is on the end of it. So how could you say that Nisuin is going to work Bitzchiasbia? Exactly. But our question is, how could that be? A, our question is, if they're both kinyanim, they should have the same halachos. There are two stages getting married, shouldn't they have the same halachos? Our second question is, the Gemara itself says that you need das, or not need. Everyone has das for the end of Bia. So how can you tell me that, oh, for Nisuin, the beginning of Bia work? What do you mean? Even in the beginning of Bia, everyone has the das for the end. So what's going on here? So this is where the Rav gets his idea, that for a real kinyan, you need das, and that's Kiddushin. But guess what? Nisuin's not a kinyan, therefore you don't need das. And therefore, the fact that the Gemara says everyone has das for Sofbia, that's very nice, but that's only for Kiddushin. But for Nisuin, you don't need das. All you're doing, and this is the Rav explains more, the Rav says that all you're doing is creating a mitzias, and now this woman is married to you. And as Rav Schachter explains, what does that mean? It just means that you're removing the impediment that she's not a Beis HaBaal. But once she's a Beis HaBaal, now you've created the mitzias of Ishus. Now you're fully married to this woman. But again, it's not that there are two separate kinyanim. You have Kiddushin and Nisuin. No, the main kinyan is Kiddushin. And Nisuin is there just to finish off that kinyan of Kiddushin so you can now be married 100% to her. Is that clear? Any questions? So, the Rav, based on Rav Nissim Gaon, right, he says there seems to be a difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin, that Kiddushin is going to work with Sofbia, but Nisuin is only going to work with Tchiasbia. How can you have such a difference? They're both Kinyanim, they should have the same halachos. And what about Das? Doesn't everyone have Das for the end? No, so the answer is that they're not two Kinyanim. This is what we said before. That they're not two Kinyanim. The real Kinyan here is Kiddushin. That works 85%. It really should work 100%. But the 50% that it doesn't work is because you're not the Beis HaBaal. Once you do Nisuin, in whatever way you do Nisuin, you remove that impediment of not being the Beis HaBaal. Now you're a Beis HaBaal, so now you're fully married to this one. You're just creating that mitzias of, but the chalos kinyan of you being acquiring that one already happened at the stage of Kiddushin. It should have worked 100%, but it can't because you're not a Beis HaBaal. So now, once you do Nisuin, now you've removed that impediment, now you're married to 100%.
How does the having Das or Sofbia connect to getting married to her again? Getting married to her.
Oh, very good. So, wait, say it again.
How does having das
for Sofbia, yeah.
How does that connect to getting married to her against her will?
I don't know if that specific point does.
So then why do we care? So then what is it? Just say the relevant answer again for why it doesn't matter for Sofbia.
Okay, so you want to understand. Again, as we said, there seem to be two different halachos. It seems that by Kiddushin, you can't do it against her will, but for Nisuin, you can do it against her will. So you're wondering, how does that fit into this Gemara?
Yeah.
So the Gemara asks, which one works for Kiddushin? The beginning of Bia or Sofbia? And we end up by saying Sofbia, that the guy always has Das for the end. But it doesn't preclude the fact that it can't be against her will. I mean, I think those are two separate things. Meaning, even though the Das here is saying that a man needs to have Das in order to... He has Das for Sofbia, but... that we still need at the same time that she's willing to go through with it. At the end, though, we say that we don't need das for this kinyan. What do you need das? What are you talking about? We don't need das. No, it's because it's not a kinyan. It's just a state that you're creating, or you're moving an impediment. There was already a state there, but you're moving an impediment to that state. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are a couple of nafka minas to this idea. Let's just discuss two main ones, okay? So what's a nafka mina if we say that nisun is really a kinyan? Or, as we're saying, it's not a kinyan. And just to remember in your head, this is all in the hava mina, okay? Right? The hava mina of, if we were to say nosun is abasula, would be that you can get married against her will. What's that hava mina, we asked? Based on the rub. Now we understand. The hava mina is, because it's not a real kinyan, of course you could do it against her will. Because, I shouldn't say of course, but you could do it against her will because it's not a real kinyan, you're just finishing it off, and you're just removing an impediment. Fine. As we know, we'll see in a second, the maskana is that's not true, so we'll understand what the maskana is. But again, we're within the hava mina. So then the hava mina, that nisuin is just removing an impediment, it's not a real kinyan. So we have two nafka minas. What's two nafka minas? So one of them is, can you do it out of order? Okay, so if there's really two kinyanim here, that you have two processes, you have one process of two stages, kiddushin and nisuin, and they're both kinyanim, so it makes sense that this one major thing called marriage, and has two kinyanim within it, it would have to be in order. Right, first you do the first stage, the first kinyan, which is kiddushin, then you do the second stage, then you do nisuin. But you're going to tell me that the real kinyan here is only kiddushin, and nisuin is just a removing an impediment, it's just there to make sure you're b'beis habaal. So maybe we could say you could do it out of order. What's an example of maybe doing it out of order? So the Ramah quotes that some people say that badekin, if you're into a wedding, so the badekin happens before the actual kiddushin process. So the question is, how could you have badekin? Some people say that's nisuin. So how could you have nisuin before kiddushin? If they're two kinyanim of the same process, you have to do stage one first, kiddushin, then do stage two, nisuin. But how could you do it out of order? How could you do stage two before stage one? Ah, so if we understand like the Rav, now we can understand. Badekin is nisuin according to some. How could you do it before kiddushin? It's no, because it's not a kinyan. It's removing impediments. How do you remove an impediment before you get married? So Rabbi said that badekin before the kiddushin, or now we're saying nisuin before kiddushin, it's just a symbolic act. What's the symbolic act that it is? Basically, that now she's bebeis habaal. Now again, officially she's not bebeis habaal yet. She's not really bebeis habaal. But the idea of badekin, right, you put the veil over her face, now she's just covered, she's only for you. That idea is a symbolic act, and now she's bebeis habaal. Now, is she fully married to you? No, not yet, because you haven't acquired her fully yet. You have to wait until, you know, 10 minutes later in the wedding for you now to be mekadesh her, to fully engage her. But the truth is that you already were, quote-unquote, married to her beforehand. Again, logically, you're not married to her beforehand. You don't need to acquire her. But that's the idea, the fact that nisun is just there to remove an impediment, that it's not a real kinyan, it's just there to make sure she's a beis habaal, so that can happen beforehand. And when some say it happens at badekin, that once you put the veil over her face, she's quote unquote beis habaal, and now that's fine. Even though the real kinyan is happening later, you can have this symbolic act beforehand. Does everyone understand that? The nafkamina, should I explain it again? Okay, that's the first nafkamina. The second nafkamina is do you need edim for nisun? Right, we know you need edim. You need Edim for Kiddushin. Why do you need Edim for Kiddushin? So, the Grach, or Chaim Soloveitchik, explains that when you are marrying a woman, or you are divorcing a woman, so those things affect generations. Those are really major, major things. And that Dorah Shebe'erva, Kiddushin, Gidin, those things are very, very, you know, those are big things going on there, as opposed to like buying a house, that's also an important thing, or buying, you know, something less important, but getting married is a major, major thing, and whatever you do is going to affect generations. So there, we need a much greater das in those situations. That's why, if you have two edim there, present, that's going to make it much more chashiv. If you do it in public, you do it in front of two people, that's much more chashiv. But if you're going to buy, you know, cereal in the stores, I don't know if you need edim for that. Fine. So that's for kiddushin. Again, kiddushin, it's creating major, major things in history, you're going to affect generations. That's why you need edikium by there. But the question is, what about by nisuin? Do you need the same edim? So, Rav Shechter said that you wouldn't need that higher da'as, right, as we just said, you need higher da'as, therefore you do it in front of edim. You need that for kiddushin. But you don't need that higher da'as. Why? Because again, you're not really creating anything when you do nisuin. You're just allowing these people to be married. There was some sort of impediment. She's not a beis habaal yet. Now she's a beis habaal, so now they're fully married. But you're not doing a real chalos kinyan. When you do kiddushin, you're doing a real chalos kinyan. You've now acquired this woman for yourself. That is a major, major thing. That needs to be done in public. That needs to be done in front of two edim. But nisuin, no, you don't need edim, because you're not really doing, I mean, you're doing a lot, but you're not doing something really major. It doesn't need such great das. All it is removing the impediment, therefore, you wouldn't really need any edim. Rebbe explained it a different way, but we'll stay with that shot. So again, those are the two nafkah minas. Whether they can be done out of order, so if you hold that it's not really a real kinyan, they can be done out of order. And whether you need edim, if it's not a real thing, again, it's a real thing, but if it's just creating a mitzias of now they're married, but it's no real chalos kinyan, therefore they can be done, therefore you don't need edim for niso. Now the maskana of the Gemara, though, now again, right, again, this is all the havamina. We want the mission to say no sinis abasula, focus on the man. No, if you said no sinis abasula, you would have the havamina that you could do it against her. Oh, I can't have a havamina against a kinyan. No, so we just explained it's not a kinyan. So what's the maskana? The maskana is the Mishnah says what? If you open your Gemara, it says basula nisis. So obviously you can't do it against her will. So the fact that we say you can't do it against her will, and we're saying that nisuin now can be done against her will. So what does that mean about nisuin? So there are two ways to look at it. Either that means that nisuin really is a kinyan, right? Our havamina was that nisuin's not a kinyan, and therefore it can be done against her will, unlike kiddushin. The answer is no. Guess what? Nisuin is a kinyan, and since it's a kinyan, it has to be done with her will, right? Just like kiddushin is a kinyan and has to be done midaita. So to nisuin, we're concluding. The Mishnah is concluding, right? As you read the Mishnah, besula nisis doesn't say the man can do it. It says that the woman gets married because it has to be done midaita. Why does nisuin have to be done midaita? You know why? Because it's the kinyan, and these kinyanim have to be done midaita. That's one way to look at the maskana of why a Mishnah says that it can't be done against her will. We also could say, though, that we can still leave our pshat with the Rav. Right? So listen carefully. That really, kiddushin is there just to remove an impediment. Okay? But we just said, though, if it's there to remove an impediment, can it be done against her will? Notice we said that you can't have a marriage against her will. It doesn't make sense for two people to be living with each other. You can't have the idea of ishus when it's against her will. So even though, in achinami, it's really there as just to remove an impediment, it's not a kinyan. It's not real kin to me, we would say it could be done against her will. I don't know. But you can't have the institution of marriage. It doesn't make sense. You can't have two people living in the same house if it's against one of their wills. Right? They both have to agree to stay married to each other. So that's why we would say that even within the Rav's pshat, even within the pshat that it's just removing an impediment, it's not a real kinyan, we can say that it can't be done against her will. Why? So as we just explained, it's because you can't have ishus when it's against one of their wills. It has to be done both willingly. Does that make sense? So that's the maskana. Okay, havamina is that it can be done against her will because it's not a real kinyan. And the answer is, no, it either is a real kinyan, and that's why, once again, that's why it has to be done midaita, or, no, it's really just there to move an impediment, but you can't have ishus when it's against one of the rules. Yeah?
We have to say that the Rav, probably says, we have to say that the Rav holds like the second way to read the maskana, his first shot to wear.
Very good. Exactly. Very good. Exactly. Right. Because he holds that throughout the board, you know, across the board, nisuin is. I mean, he was also within the maskana.
Right.
Exactly. Very good. Good point. Okay. Let's go to the second shir. So the second shir, different topic, was called Hachiyuv Levarer B'Makom Svek Svika. Is there an obligation to be Mevarer, right, to clarify when you have a Svek Svika? So what's going on here? How do we get to that? So the Mishnah again says that a Basul gets married on a Wednesday, so that if the man has a Tainas Basulim, he can come to court on Thursday and claim the Tainas Basulim. So what's going on here? Who are we talking about? What types of women are we talking about? So, let's try to stay very organized, okay? We're going to start with Shitas Rashi. That's step one. Step two we're going to do is Shitas Tosvos. And step three is going to be explaining their Machlokas. What is Machlokas between them? Okay, so just try to stay very organized. Okay, so let's start with Shitas Rashi. What does Rashi say here? So, Rashi says as follows. He says that we want a man to come to court on a Thursday, or we want them to get married on a Wednesday instead he comes to court on Thursday. Why? I'll just read Rashi inside. He says, Ulakach tiknu shetinase b'revi'i, shim ha'ilo tanas b'sulim, yashkim l'vistin, b'od kasola. Right? We want the husbands to still be angry. So if it was Wednesday night, he'll be angry still on Thursday morning, and he'll come to court. Right, daito. We're scared that if he waits, let's say they got married on a Monday. So if they had to wait Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he's gonna cool down. And he's gonna keep her. We're nervous that maybe she had znus tachtav, right? That after they were engaged halachically, she had znus, and therefore they're not allowed to live with each other. Vinasra love, she's actually usher to him. Fine. Once he comes to court, Yisbara Dava, Kishietzi, Akol, Shemayvel, Udim, Vergamar, Parach, Vitinasi, Bechweshas. Fine. So what's going to happen? He's going to come to court. Now we see already that the guy himself is not making her usher. He's going to come to court on Thursday morning, and maybe people will start talking, and then Edim will come and say, you know what? We saw, and again, Mary, back in the day, Kiddushin happened on day one, and a year later they were married. So we saw, unfortunately, that within that period of Kiddushin, she was Mizana with someone else, she's usher to you, and that's what's going on here. The Edim are going to come. Okay, that's Rashi's pshat in the Sugya. Okay, now, what does he talk?
If he comes on Wednesday, then the Edim...
When he comes on Thursday.
If he comes on Thursday, then the Edom will come.
Because Thursday is the day when there's court.
Right.
So when there's court, he'll come, he'll announce what he has to do. Fine. So the question is, what type of case is Rashi talking about? Or what type of women are we talking about? So let's just, based on the Gemara on Daf Tes, there are two types of women we could be talking about. Okay? Category 1 and Category 2. Category 1 women are Rov Nashim. Okay? Most women. Okay? Not so complicated. Fine. Category 2, though, are two specific cases. One is an Ishes Kohen. Okay, a woman who's married, who's going to get married to a Kohen. Okay, so this man is a Kohen. Or a woman who was engaged by her father before she was 3 years old. Now, what's the difference between these two categories? So, the Gemara Daf Tes says as follows. There are two sfeikos that we might have in these cases. One is tachtav or ain tachtav. One is ratzon or ones. And what does that mean? So, tachtav or ain tachtav means whether the Znus happened tachtav after they were engaged halachically, after the kiddushin, and that would be a problem. And the other side is ain tachtav, that it happened way beforehand, and that wouldn't be a problem for this marriage. Now, let's say it was tachtav. Is she automatically asur? No. Because what maybe we could say? Maybe we could say it was anus. She was like raped or something like that. So we wouldn't say, that's not fair, right? We're not going to say that it did happen after they were engaged halachically, but it's not her fault. So if you have a case of a normal woman who was mizana tata, but it was be'ones, she'd be mutter to her husband. But let's say it was tata, but be'ratzon, then for sure she's a usser. Fine. So what we see here is that for rov nashim, for most women, there's a svek sveka. Was it tata or ain't tata? And even if it was tata, maybe it was be'ones. Fine. But we have a category too, a woman that it's, we don't have a double suffix, we only have a one suffix. Why? So let's go through each case. The case of an Ishes Kohen. So an Ishes Kohen, the only suffix we have is whether it was Tachta or Ain Tachta. But if the Tachta or Ain Tachta, but we don't really care if it was Ones or Ratzon, because we say that an Ishes Kohen, if she's even if it's Be'ones, she's Usher to her husband. So that removes that second suffix. Because even if it's Ones, she's not like a normal woman. She's getting married to a Kohen. Even if it's Ones, it's still an issue. So for the Ishes Kohen, the only issue is what? Is suffix number one. Whether it was tacht or ain't tacht. And what do we say in general? Suffolk, here we have a doraisa because they're getting married. Suffolk doraisa l'chumra. So we would say that even if there's just one suffolk, she would usher to her husband. What about the case of a woman who was engaged by her father before she was 3 years old? So, the suffolk of whether it was tacht or ain't tacht is not existent. Why? Because it has to be that the bia happened tacht of. Why? Because again, she was married, let's say, at two and a half, right? So, from 2.5 to 3, any bia she has is not a real bia. Any bia she's going to have after 3 is going to be a real bia. But if she was engaged before she was 2.5, before she was 3 years old, let's say she was 2.5, so any znus she's going to have after 3 years old is taktav. So it has to be, then the case of a woman getting engaged before she's 3 years old, it has to be taktav, because how could it be ain't taktav? Right? Anything happening before 3 years old is not a real bia. Just, physically, is not a real bia. So therefore, the only bia that's going to really count is after 3, but we know that she's already engaged after 3. So it must be that any bia she can have that's considered a real znus would have to be when she's talked of. Right, exactly. The b'sum will go back before 3 years old. Therefore, anything that happens before is nothing. Anything that happens afterwards is really something. And after 3 years old, we already know she's engaged because she was engaged before she was 3 years old. So that suffix of talked of, intact, doesn't apply to a woman who's engaged before. But so do we have the onus and ratzon? And we would say there also, suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. Okay, so those are two categories. You have category 1 of most women who have a svek svika, and category 2 of women who have one svek. So the Ramban says that when Rashi says that you need Aiden to come to court, we must be talking about a case of a double svek. Because if it was a one svek, as we just said, it's called svek d'orais l'chumra, there'd be no issue, or there would be a major issue if she's usser, but he doesn't need to come to court for that. She's automatically usser. So therefore, Rashi, when Rashi says that we need Aiden to come, we must be talking about a case of a svek sveka, that Rashi requires you, as we'll explain soon, to mevar that suffik, to clarify whether she was taktav or ain't taktav, and even if she was taktav, was that onus or ratzon? Okay, so that's Ramban says, that Rashi must be talking about a case of a double suffik, and that the main takana of our Mishnah, the Mishnah says that women should be married on a Wednesday, so you can come to court on Thursday. The main takana, ikar takana, is for most women, because most women are svek svekos. For the women who aren't svek svekos, we'll get to in a second, do you need to come to court or not? But for most women who are svek svekos, Rashi holds, you need to come to court, be mevar the suffik. Is that clear? Now, the question is, what does Rashi hold about the other women? Category 2, I think. Right? Category 2 of the one suffik. We just said, suffik dereis lechumra. She's automatically usher, but do you need to come to court for that? Do you need to bring them to court? Meaning, my question really is, according to Rashi, the main takana, as we just said, is for most women. So most women need to get married on a Wednesday. What about other women? The other two women? Anisha's coin. Does she need to get married on a Wednesday? Well, if she's automatically usher, so let her get married on Sunday, on Tuesday. Why do we need to let her get married on a Wednesday? Let her get married any day. But if the husband says Pesach Asu Matzasi, she's automatically going to be usher, and that can happen at home. So why do we need her? We don't need them to get married on a Wednesday. Is that really true? What I just said? Those are machlokas. The Ritva quotes some people says, yeah, you know what? The whole Tarkana is just for women who are normal women, Rov Nashim. They must get married on a Wednesday. But guess what? Other women, our Mishnah doesn't apply to. When I say other women, just those two specific cases: the case of woman who's engaged before 3 years old, and the case of an Ashes Kohen. Those two women get married on Sunday, or I guess Sunday would be maybe part of the Tekanas. Monday, Tuesday, whatever day you want to get married. You don't need to get married on Wednesday. Why? Because you're automatically usher. But Rebbe said that not everyone agrees to that. That really, you might say that, of course, the Iker Takano, according to Rashi, is what is for most women, because most women are sex fakos. So you need to bring them to court in order to be devour the suffik. But we would say, though, that even the two exceptional cases, those also need to get married on a Wednesday. Why?
The Ramban
hold the same thing? Well, the Ramban was a step before. The Ramban said that Rashi is talking about cases of svek sveka.
Right.
That's what Rashi, the Iker Takanas are svek sveka. Okay, the question is though, what about the other cases? Do other women also have to get married on a Wednesday? The women who are the two exceptional cases, do they also need to get married on Wednesday? I mean, the question is she automatically usher, or do you also need to come to court, even if it's just those cases of one suffik? The Ritva, as we just said, says no, it automatically happens. But Rebbe said though that maybe we would say even those women need to come. Those women need to get married on Wednesday. Why? Because he says maybe you'll start rationalizing. Even though it's one suffik, and we do have that principle called suffik d'oraisa l'chumra, but the guy might say, oh, maybe, you know, even though it's one suffik, maybe I don't exactly know, but maybe he'll start rationalizing and he'll keep her married. And as we know, it's suffik d'oraisa l'chumra, she's usher to him, he's going to stay married to her. So the other opinion would say, no, even according to Rashi, that is Rebbe's pshat, I don't know who said it. Maybe even according to Rashi, all women need to get married on Wednesday because they might start rationalizing. Good. This is Shitas Rashi. Okay. Again, Rashi holds the main takana is for Rov Nashim. We need to mevara the suffik. And the question is, within Rashi, do the other two women need to get married on Wednesday? Ritva quotes Yesh Omer, who says they don't need to get married on Wednesday. She's automatically usher. Rebbe said that, though, maybe even those women need to get married on Wednesday because they might start rationalizing. Fine. Shitas Tosos. So Tosos says, and that was Rashi. Good. Tosos says like this. He says that, of course, the women who are either Bas Kohen, Isha's Kohen, or engaged before 3, of course they need to come to court on Wednesday. We'll explain in a second. Of course they need, the one suffi cases. Of course they need to come to court on Wednesday. But what about the other women? The other women don't need to come to court. Why? It's a svek sveka. What do we say? Svek sveka lakula. So of course the women who, most women, right, 95% of women, they don't need to come to court, or the husband doesn't need to come to court, because guess what? If he wakes up on Thursday morning and he has a tainus basulim, but if she's a regular woman, so the svek sveka, was it taktav or ain't taktav? And if it was taktav, maybe it was ba'ones. And therefore, those women for sure don't need to come to court. Right? So Tosfos says that the main takana is for the two exceptional cases. Oh, what about the other women? So he answers, it's a low plug. Right? Then the Rabbanan didn't want everyone to get confused. And therefore, we're going to say that according to Tosfos, the main takana, and this is against Rashi, right? Rashi held the main takana is for all women, and the two exceptional cases, that's not the real takana. Tosfos says the main takana is for those two exceptional cases. What about other women? So Toso says that they should also get married on Wednesday because of a low plug. That really, that takana wasn't really made for them. But for a low plug, we're going to tell them to get married on Wednesday also.
Wait, what was Tosas' svar about the, can you just say svar out why it's for those two exceptional cases?
Meaning why should those?
Yeah, why?
So I'll be honest, we didn't exactly explain that in Shir yet. I'll explain that in Shir yet. It's a good question, meaning if it's a spec straight call, sorry, if it's one suffix on the automatic, also why do they need to come to court?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I don't know if we...
Okay.
Fine. So we hear the mafogas, Rashi ikers for the all women, Tosos ikers for the two exceptional occasions. The question is, what's their mafogas about? So let's do this very quickly, okay? Let's take 2 minutes, okay? We have the Chasam Sofer, and we have the Chanda Shlomo as two answers. So the Chasam Sofer says that what's the argument here between Rashi and Tosos? The question is, do you in general, do you need mevarer a svek sveika? Okay? If you have the ability to, we know svek sveika lakula, but let's say you have the ability to check to see whether the svek sveika ends up being an asur or mutter. Let's say you have the ability to check. So Rashi says, if you have the ability to check, you need to check. That's why Rashi says that in the case of the two exceptional cases, sorry, that's why Rashi says in the case of Rov Nashim are svek sveikos, those cases, that's Iker Takana. Of course bring the guys to go to court. Because why? You may have Eden. Maybe they'll come to Mevarer. Rashi, it's a Svek Seika. Why do you have to be Mevarer? Because Rashi holds Svek Seika, you need to be Mevarer. If you can't be Mevarer, you need to be Mevarer. Tosos says, though, the opposite. He says, no. If you have a Svek Seika, we hold Svek Seika Lakula. Even if Efshar Lavar, you don't need to check. And that's why Tosos says it doesn't make sense that we need to have Rov Nashim. A case of Rov Nashim. Why does the husband have to come to court? He ends up saying it's a low plug. But Tosos doesn't believe they need a Mivara case, because in case of Svek, Sveika, Eshelavari, you do not need to be, not need to check. Clear? Machos be Rashi and Tosos. Question is, what's behind that Machokas? So he says as follows. He says, when we say Svek, Sveika, Lakula, what does that mean? Does that mean that when you have a Suffolk and a Suffolk, it's as if there's no Suffolk? You're in so much doubt, that we just say there's no Suffolk anymore? Totally, it's like a Vadai. We're for sure that this woman is, or in whatever case you have, you can have the case, you know, throughout Shas. But whatever the case is, that for sure there's a kula here, right? Svek sveika kula means that we're so sure, it's so much doubt that basically we're sure as to that there's no, the suffix just removes itself, okay? Or no, the Torah just gave us a rule that you're allowed to be lenient in case of svek sveika, that we can rely on this rule even though we don't know the truth. Okay, again, that's a second level. The first level is to say that when you have a svek sveika, it's as if there's no suffix anymore. Vadai, the case is okay. The other way is, no, we don't know the truth, but the Torah allows you to be lenient, and that's me, the Mahosin, Rashi, and Tosos, right? Rashi, who says that in a case you're able to check a svek sveika, you should check, because you know what he holds? That svek sveika is not like 100%. It's not a vadai, it's not like the first way, it's a second way. The Torah gives you rules. They say you're allowed to be lenient, but do you know the truth? You don't know the truth. And therefore, if you could check the truth, of course you should check the truth. But Tosa says, no, Rashi, you got it wrong. You know what svek sveika lakula means? It means there's no suffix anymore. It's a vada that it's okay. Therefore, if you could check, do you need a check? No, there's nothing to check anymore. Svek sveika lakula means it's totally okay. That would be the svar. The machlokes of Rashi and Tosos. Good. Now let's finish up with the Chanda Shlomo. He brings two answers here as to what's going on. What's the machlokes between Rashi and Tosos? So he says like this. He says that really, in general, we hold you don't need to check a svek sveika. Right? If you have a svek sveika, it's lakula. Even if you're able to check, you don't have to check. So why does Rashi say here you have to check? Then maybe this is what? Maybe these cases are an exception. Maybe this is a local machlokas. The Rashi holds that this case of a woman and the husband, maybe this is an exceptional case. Why is this an exception? So there are two reasons for that. And we'll finish with this. Either, and this is the second shot, but I'm sure we explained the first. Either, there's not a real svek sveika. You know why? Because there's actually someone in the world who knows bivadai what went on here. Who knows that? The woman. The woman knows bivadai whether she's mezadana. And therefore, in every other case throughout Shas of sex feika, guess what? It's a real suffix. It's a real, real suffix. No one knows what to do. But in our case, since there's one person in the world who knows bivadai what happened, we can't hold sex feika lakula. And that's where Rashi says, you know what? Maybe in general I'll hold that sex feika lakula. You don't have to check in a case of Shalavar. But in this case, you need to check. You know why? Because since there's one person in the world who knows bivadai what happened, it's not a real suffix. It's not so lenient. We need to check. The second shot we said, which is really his first shot, is that in most cases of svek sveika, you're never going to find out what actually is going to happen. You're never really going to have Edim who are going to come and say, oh, this is what really happened. But guess what? In our case, you might have that. You might have Edim who saw the woman in those 12 months, and it's going to be a big gnai if, you know, two or three years later, you have Edim who are going to come and going to say, you know what, this woman is actually Mizana. And now they had kids and some whole problem. So therefore, that's why our case is also an exception to the rule. In general, Rashi might say that when you have an inability to check, you don't need a check in a case of sex akah. But in our case, you should check. You know why? Because it's possible that at the end of the day, people might find out, the Edim might come. And that's going to be a major gunai. And we obviously want to remove possibility of there being a gunai. And that's why Rashi says in our case, that we should need to check in the case of Svek Sveika. Okay.